On this episode of the Ben Greenfield Fitness Podcast.
I feel like I'm getting a chance to talk now during my own podcast about stuff I never get to because I'm always interviewing somebody. I encourage people to just reframe the idea of needing to go to a gym to work out. You don't have to go to a gym to work out, period. We can track a lot more than just body fat and muscle gain or BMI. So understand that that's just one thing to look at. Biggest mistakes would be
health, performance, nutrition, longevity, ancestral living, biohacking, and much more. My name is Ben Greenfield. Welcome to the show.
All right, this is an interesting podcast. It's part one of a two-part series with a guy named Tom Deegan, a new friend of mine from Austin, Texas. We got deep into the weeds on everything from minimalist exercise programs to nutrition to fitness technology. It was a fascinating discussion. It was kind of like him interviewing me, really, more than me interviewing him. But I think you'll really enjoy this episode. It got so long and so fun and so detailed that I split it into two parts. So the part that you're listening to right now, you can get the show notes for if you go to bengreenfieldfitness.com/ladder podcast. And then part two is basically going to come out, at the time that you're listening to this, in just a few days. So you won't have to wait around too long for part two.
Well, if you're like me, you live a busy life. You don't really have time for many days off. That's why I talk so much about your mitochondria, because they generate about 90% of the energy your body uses. And keeping your mitochondria strong is one of the best ways to keep fatigue at bay. But these little mitochondria, darn things, are expensive to run. They use a huge amount of raw materials, especially when it comes to minerals. The problem is most people, including you and me, probably don't get enough minerals. And without minerals, your mitochondria don't have the cofactors they need to make energy. More than 97% of Americans don't get enough potassium. About 80% are deficient in magnesium. 40% are deficient in calcium. And those are three of the big ones. There's close to a dozen other trace minerals that are important for mitochondrial function, and most of us don't get enough of them, and you definitely can't get them from, say, table salt. It turns out that trying to take all the minerals you need by taking single mineral supplements isn't only hard because you need a ton of pills, but it's not the most effective way to get your minerals. That's why I take liquid, humic, and fulvic complexes. These are full spectrum mineral supplements, which means you get all the essential minerals your body needs in one go without a daily handful of massive amounts of pills or very large capsules or anything else that's hard to swallow. I use Beam mineral supplements because they're almost 100% bioavailable. They come in a liquid form that's easy to drink. It's just two bottles. I keep them in my pantry, throw back a shot a few times a day. They're a great way to refill your mineral stores, especially for those of you out here who are haunting your sauna on a frequent basis, or sweating, or doing hot yoga, or anything else. Keep your mitochondria running strong. So if you want to up your mineral game, give Beam Minerals a try. Go to Beam Minerals, B-E-A-M, minerals.com, and use code BEN at checkout for 20% off your first order. Well, if you're tired of spending hours on cardio with minimal results, then listen up, because I got a game-changing fitness breakthrough for you. The Carol Bike, science-backed, time-saving solution trusted by experts for optimizing health and longevity. They use this special form of a workout called a rehit, which allows you to achieve superior health and fitness benefits compared to regular cardio in 90% less time. That's amazing. That's a lot of time, 90%. Studies show that by doing Carol's 5-minute workout just three times a week, you can improve your fitness by 12%, reduce your risk of type 2 diabetes by 62%, and even wind back your internal body clock by 10 years. The science is clear. Carol Bike is your ticket to a healthier and more vibrant life. You got to try it to believe it and to see what I'm saying. I mean, it's not like a walk in the park. When you're pushing hard in those intervals, you're pushing, but then it's just like over and it's done and it walks you through it. It's very motivating. It's 5 feet away from me right now. It's right here in my office, my cool little exercise toy in my office. So you get $250 off your Carol Bike. You don't have to wait any longer. You can join over 25,000 riders and visit carolbike.com today. Carolbike.com. Hey, you want to spice things up in the bedroom and boost your sexual performance and do it naturally without nasty prescription drugs? You got to check out this stuff, Joy Mode. It's a powder. You can put it in water, or if you're like me and you're a savage, you can dry powder into your mouth. Contains clinically supported doses of L-citrulline, arginine, yohimbine, and vitamin C. So after taking this stuff called their sexual performance booster, again, by Joy Mode, your blood levels of arginine in your hemoglobin increase, and that directly promotes nitric oxide production, penile tissue relaxation, and increased drive. Well, the antioxidant action of vitamin C protects the nitric oxide from oxidative degradation, which then enhances the blood flow promoting activity of the nitric oxide. They thought of everything. They're super smart over at Joy Mode, and collectively these effects enhance sex drive and blood flow naturally to the penis or to the clitoris. My wife takes it too. It's amazing. You get better orgasms, better blood flow. You can kiss nasty prescription medications goodbye and have natural guilt-free energy for boosting your sexual performance. You can get 20% off your first order from Joy Mode. How? Go to usejoymode.com/greenfield. That's usejoymode.com/greenfield. J-O-Y. Usejoymode.com/greenfield. They'll give you 20% off your first order.
All right, folks. So I just got back a couple of weeks ago from Austin, and I was super sore, and I'm going to blame my podcast guest today for making me hella sore, because he had me film like 700 exercises over the course of, I guess, gosh, like 48 hours. And it was fun. And we did a bunch of, you know, photos and shots and videos and me demonstrating pretty much every exercise I've ever learned or taught in, or made up in my entire life. And this was because he had this crazy idea based on an app that he helped to develop, a fitness technology app. His name is Tom Digan. Tom, am I even pronouncing your last name right? D-I-G-A-N. Tom Digan.
I mean, you gave it a little, sounded like you made it sound French, like Dijon.
Dijon. Tom Dijon Mustard. Anyways, Tom is a new friend of mine. And the reason we connected was because he had a few months ago filled me in on this new fitness app that he had developed called Ladder. And I went and checked it out. Super slick. I mean, like, the best way I could describe it is if you were to go, like, be on that old, what was the old NBC TV show, Strong, or even The Biggest Loser, where you could, like, have your own trainer and join their team, kind of like that. Am I thinking of the right show, Tom? Was it Strong?
Yeah, The Biggest Loser. I know the show.
Yeah, yeah. Well, everybody knows The Biggest Loser. But anyways, so the general premise here was, like, I could actually be a trainer on the platform and have all my exercises, all my workouts, all my knowledge, all my videos, you know, pretty much all the programming that I do for my one-on-one clients who honestly, they pay me a lot of money every month to do this. But what if we could scale a lot of these programs and bring them to the general fitness audience using an app that doesn't look like it got thrown together in 48 hours in Kazakhstan or something like that. So anyways, I flew down to Austin, met with Tom. I filmed all these exercises and actually put together this entire program. It's called Boundless, with this goal of, like, you know, basically training how I train, right? Minimal effective dose of exercise, trying to trigger both lifespan and health span, not necessarily training like a pro triathlete or an exercise addict or a crazy, crazy hit, you know, CrossFitter. CrossFitters always hate me when I say that. But basically, you know, what would a real good program that just keeps you fit for life and living a really good life look like? And could that be delivered on a really slick app? And by connecting with Tom and his whole technology team, I'm pretty sure we figured it all out. Based on how sore I was after filming all of those exercises, I hope we figured it out. Because Tom, I know you were up in your office. Are you at your gym, by the way, down in Austin?
I am. We got some athletes banging some weights around downstairs, if there's anything in the background.
I was going to say, I thought I heard some athletes banging around some weights, but, like, that's what I was doing. And so Tom's up in his office. I'm down there working hard, sweating my butt off. I don't know. You're probably being a keyboard warrior or something, Tom. But anyways, so I filmed all these exercises. And then Tom and his team have been working behind the scenes with this whole new app, which I'm super excited about. But we thought it'd be cool to do a podcast where we just talk about fitness technology and the future of fitness and workout programming. And also, I want to fill all of you in, you know, and Tom, I know, might put me in the hot seat a little bit about why I do what I do, why I approach exercise the way I approach it, you know, why my workouts are structured the way that they are structured. And, you know, my goal is for you to leave this podcast just knowing a ton more. I mean, whether or not you use the Ladders app or the Ladder team, or, you know, join my Ladder team or whatever, whether you go off and do your own thing, I really, really want you to wrap your head around how I program and what my workouts actually feel feel like and look like. And I actually want to pick Tom's brain too about, you know, fitness technology, and especially in the era of, you know, post COVID, or I guess amidst COVID, what it's looking like in terms of ways that people can work out at home. So Tom, I would love to introduce you with a comprehensive bio, but you know, my knowledge of you is you're a badass dude who works at a gym that makes me sore. I know you spent like 10 years working in the hedge fund industry for a long time before you got into fitness technology. And now you are you the actual founder of Ladder?
Yeah, I'm a co-founder of the business. I was originally the money behind it at the beginning, because I was obviously, you know, came from an investing background, and then moved the business here to Austin, Texas in 2019. And that's when I became full-time on it. So I'm our president and co-founder.
All right, gotcha. Basically, in terms of how you got interested and put together an actual fitness app, was this one of those deals where you were scrolling through the app store and not seeing what you wanted? Or how did you actually get connected with Ladder?
It was more of an evolution than that. Originally, we started out in what was more one-to-one online training, online coaching. So worked with thousands of coaches all over the country. And the thought was, you know, really making personal training more accessible. We built software that allowed trainers to work with their clients remotely, build programs, communicate with them, run a payment solution. What we got, there was a whole bunch of insights and learning that came out of that, which ultimately led to Ladder Teams. Much longer story for another podcast, but at the beginning of 2020, we brought in a new team, new leadership, some really talented folks who now had all of these insights and learnings. And we got really excited about building a product that was more social. So this was right on the eve of COVID. And what we had seen was that, you know, we felt that, you know, personalization, if you will, was a bit overhyped, at least by way of our experience watching thousands of trainers giving most of their clients virtually the same program. And we also were excited about working with star trainers, but in a way where we could give people access in a way that really scales. So that was really the, you know, a couple of the insights that led to Ladder Teams, which we launched in the middle of the pandemic. So we launched this new product called Ladder Teams in July of 2020.
Okay, so the name of the app is not Ladder, it's Ladder Teams.
Yeah. Yeah, name of the company Ladder. Ladder Teams is the product. And for those, you know, wondering with Ladder Teams, you know, you're getting fresh workouts that are delivered each week. So it's strength training focused, or that's definitely you know, where our program skews to. It's, you know, these programs are designed by experts like yourself, like Ben Greenfield, which we'll get to that later. The workouts are delivered in it's a beautiful press and play experience where you have audio coaching that makes you feel like your coach is right there, whether it's in your home or back at your local gym. Your music's all synced up, and then you have motivation coming from your coach, but perhaps more so from the new friends that you're meeting, who is just as passionate about fitness as you. So the social piece is huge. That's definitely, you know, not only our biggest differentiator, but it's, you know, it's core to our strategy, and it's what's leading to fitness outcomes for our members.
Yeah, and that's what I think is cool. Like you call it Team Ladder, and my team, it's like if you download the app and you join my team is called Team Boundless, and that's how you like have me as your coach, and you got all the videos from me, the check-ins with me, being able to talk with me, send one-on-one messages to me, get nutrition tips, you know, keep me updated on your progress. Like that's what it means to be part of my team on the store. And by the way, I'll link to the app. I'll link to everything Tom and I talk about. If you go to bengreenfieldfitness.com/ladder podcast, that's bengreenfieldfitness.com/ladder podcast. Or if you get the app, you could just go on there and find me under Team Boundless. So Tom, when it comes to the actual app itself, is this one of those apps that people pay for? Is it like within app payments? Is it all ad driven? Like what's it actually look like in terms of the cost for somebody who joins? And could, this is actually something I was wondering about, like could somebody like download the app and join one person's team and pay to join another person's team, or how does it actually work?
Yeah. So it's a premium fitness subscription that costs as low as $39 a month. We have a few different pricing plans. You can pay monthly, or you can term it out and get a discount. So, you know, average price around $50 a month. So it's a premium experience. You are locking in with one coach, with one program, to the extent that, you know, you plateau or looking for something different, or, you know, life changes and you have new goals, which often happens, then we, most likely have another program that's a good fit for you. But most people don't switch programs. They lock in with their coach, they find their people, and that's how they're having the most success.
Okay. All right. Got it. So you get in, you like pay a monthly, what'd you say it was, like $59, something like that?
$50 is the average.
Yeah. So $50 to basically like join my team and get all my workouts and everything.
Yep.
And so in terms of like other trainers on the platform, not that I wouldn't love for everybody to just go and join my team, but who are some other trainers on the platform or have some interesting programs?
Yeah, we have a pretty good mix, and that was the vision, was really kind of putting together like the Avengers of fitness, if you will, meaning people with from different backgrounds, different, you know, fitness.
What'd you call it, the Avengers of fitness?
It was an internal concept that we had. We were kind of, looking at the whiteboard and drafting coaches, if you will, and trying to really find, you know, these different coaches with different superpowers.
I like that, but that begs the question, which Avenger am I, man?
I mean, you're Dr. What's Dr.
Dr. Strange?
Is that his name?
I think, I don't know.
I mean, yeah, you got to be the doctor or the professor. Okay. Or
all right, I'll go for Dr. Strange. Since we worked in, like, well, my program, we worked in a lot of the science, a lot of the biohacks, a lot of the stuff you kind of have to do when you're trying to cut out exercise time, because we did it for like the busy person who's got a life, not necessarily a pro athlete. All right, I'll take Dr. Strange. So anyway, sorry to interrupt. Do continue.
Of course. So we have, I'll give you a taste of a few. So Training Day is one of my favorite programs. There's two coaches in this program, so it's called Training Day. The two coaches are a guy named Rain Nell, who he goes by Rain Train on Instagram. He's a African Viking, and we have his former client is a guy named Neen Williams, who's one of the top professional professional street skateboarders. Very interesting pair. That program, it's a lot of bands, a lot of kettlebells. It's prioritizing explosive power and speed. Body and Bell is another amazing program. The coach is Lauren Kansky. This is going to be functional, high intensity kettlebell workouts. There's an insanely strong sense of community among this group of mostly women in that group. Maximus. This is led by former Jim Jones trainer and UFC fighter Bobby Maximus. So this is going to be, you know, what you'd expect, a no nonsense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've talked with Bobby before. He's nuts.
Yeah, Bobby's awesome. So that's like your garage style, you know, just doing a ton of burpees and pull ups. Really cool program. The last one I'll mention right now, Project Alpha. So this is a guy named Coach Sam Tooley. He comes from more the endurance background, kind of like yourself. You know, he's done some Ironmans and is a big time runner. So this is going to be a combination of endurance and strength, and, you know, definitely gets you looking a certain way. If you're willing to, you know, put up with the pain, you know, the pounds will come off quick. Some of my favorite workouts in his are actually track workouts, which is, we didn't know what that experience was going to be like on the app, in that we built this beautiful UI UX interface. And when you go to the track, you're just pressing play and putting your phone in your pocket, like it's right there, or, you know, whatever type of athletic shorts you wear. And then, you know, everything is, you know, your music's playing, coach is in your ear, the warm up, you know, the rest, everything's timed out. Those are some of my favorite workouts, though. So that's fun.
Right, because you don't have to be like hovered over your phone.
Exactly. And, you know, all the experiences are like that. I mean, you press play and we're trying to simulate this great coach being right there beside you. So everything taken care of, but that gives you a little flavor. So quite a bit of variety, but it skews to strength training. You know, today ladder is not for everyone. It's for people who are serious about fitness. You know, we felt like that was the gap in the market, that from a digital offering standpoint, there were a ton of good solutions for cardio, but really less so for strength. And so, you know, our customers today who are seeing the most value in our product, you know, they value quality workout programming. They're working out 3+ days a week, you know, whether our product exists or not. But, you know, many of them were also kind of unsure if they were going to return to the gym post COVID. About a third of them have now gone back to the gym, and they've just brought ladder with them. You know, we think it's a arguably better experience the more equipment you have. So this certainly isn't just like an at-home experience. This flexes with you, which we think is important in this kind of post-COVID fitness.
Yeah, that's always been the tricky part with apps for strength training, is it's really hard to see what's going on with the app. And that, you know, it's a classic. You go to the gym and you see the person with like their phone on the mat and they're like hovered over their phone, you know, sometimes in a push-up position or a plank, because half the workouts are just in a push-up position or plank, because that allows you to stare at your phone, and they can't go off and do like, you know, deadlifts and kettlebell work and squats and things like that with their phone in their pocket, with the trainer actually walking them through in the right set and rep schemes and rest periods. So I was blown away when I played around with your app. I have to admit, obviously I'm biased because I have a program on there now, but anyways, I think that it actually is something that there is a huge need for, So kudos for building it. And again, for those of you listening, it's called Ladder, but I don't want this to be some like big, huge commercial for Ladder. I want to get into some fitness BS too. And I know you want to turn the tables on me. So one more time, I'll give everybody the show notes, and then I'm just going to sit back, and because I know you put together a list of questions you want to ask me, Tom, and I'm prepared / slightly nervous, but the show notes for all you listening in are at bengreenfieldfitness.com/ladder podcast. All right. I'm ready, Tom. Fire away. You get to put me in the hot seat now.
Excited to turn the tables. I like interviewing better perhaps. So I guess to start right, there's clearly a dizzying array of fitness programs out there, and anyone listening knows that you've tinkered with them all. So maybe help us cut through the BS. What should people do if they want to feel good, look good naked, and live for a long time?
Sun their perineums. It's the asshole sunning, right? I think that's the key. That's what was popular last year, and it appears to still be working. But if you've been sunning your perineum, so to speak, and you're still not getting results, you know, I have a background in biomechanics and exercise physiology, right? That's what I did my master's degree in at University of Idaho. And so I like to chunk the programs that I create. And so if you're listening in, this is what you need to step back and ask yourself about your fitness program. I like to include certain components that specifically focus on core buckets of fitness. So the first would be strength. Like every fitness program needs a lifting heavy shit type of component. Now that can include lighter weights to failure. That can include blood flow restriction training, right? Which we actually included in the Ladder's program as an option to simulate or to trick the muscle into thinking that it's under heavy load. That can include super slow strength training with a slightly lighter load, like a 10 to 30 second up, 10 to 30 second down, which is fantastic for bringing a muscle to failure at a low risk of injury with a minimal effective dose of exercise, like a super slow full body strength training workout. It's like a 15 to 20 minute workout. And it can also include traditional strength, right? Like squats, deadlifts, overhead presses. Preferably for all of those, I like to use, unless someone's going through rehab or physical therapy, or they're really kind of aesthetically going after a certain body part, you know, it's like bicep curls or calf raises or whatever. I like everything to be multi-joint as much as possible. On my programs, you don't have leg day. You don't have stomach day. You don't have triceps and biceps day. That works for a bodybuilder who's got like 2 to 4 hours a day to spend in the gym and completely crush each of those individual body parts. And I used to be a bodybuilder. I used to experiment with that stuff. And I've realized that if you want the minimal effective dose of exercise, every workout is full body. Right. When was the last time that you used your body and it was just lower body or just upper body, or you were trying to play a game of tennis and it was just triceps, right? So there's a functional component and also a time-saving component when you're not doing body part splits and you're doing full body instead. You know, and people are like, well, what about walking? What about cycling? But I mean, as a cyclist, I use my core, I use my triceps, I use my biceps. As a walker, using your core, you're rotating, you're using your neck muscles, your shoulder muscles. So all my workouts are full body. They are also inclusive of some type of strength training component as a part of the entire fitness program. So strength is one, and typically that's anywhere from 2 to 5 times a week that you're doing some element of strength training. The next kind of like bucket to think about, and you want to checklist off each of these in any exercise program that you're doing. But the next one would be some element of moving a muscle more quickly, like the power and speed component. And they've done research and shown that, you know, with big, massive bodybuilders, you actually see a kind of like a shorter lifespan or less metabolically healthy muscle, because it's just big old muscle that you have to carry, that you have to cool, that you have to produce a bunch of extra endogenous antioxidants to quell inflammation in. The type of muscle that's associated with longevity, and in studies from, you know, rodent models all the way up to humans, a shorter rate of telomere lengthening, right? So increased cellular lifespan, arguably. It is the wiry, quick, explosive, fast twitch muscles that you develop during power and speed. And so if you don't have some component of your exercise program that's like light bodyweight exercises where you're moving super fast, or some type of power training or plyometric training component, or some type of quick sport like soccer or tennis, you know, versus say like just marathoning or hiking or something like that, you're missing out on what would arguably be like the muscle that's best associated with longevity. So you have strength where you're getting the muscle stronger and sometimes like thicker with more mass, but then you balance that out with power and speed, which is typically moving faster weights or body weight under lighter load. And that could also include like some type of sporting component, like a sport, again, like soccer or tennis or basketball or what have you.
Wait, to stop there for a second on like the hardwired muscle, is that in contrast to like what Tom Brady and the TB12 method is putting out there, right? Like, why am I thinking with them of like soft and long, like long, lean, pliable muscles? Is that a different school of thought?
That would probably fall more into the strength component, but it'd fall more into like kind of like the weak strength component. It's almost like nothing is Tom Brady, but that's kind of like no man's land training to a certain extent, especially when you work in some of the other stuff I'm going to get into regarding mobility. So yeah, the power and speed, typically you want to train that kind of similar to the strength, anywhere from 2 to 5 times a week, like some element of moving a muscle quickly, right? And I mean, sometimes it's very simple. Like I have a kettlebell.
That can be sprints or—
It could be sprints. It could be kettlebell swings. It could be clap pushups. It could be a game of tennis, like you name it. But you don't want to neglect the fast, powerful, explosive muscle fibers, which will basically keep your body young as you age, especially. The next would be your mitochondria, right? So the powerhouses of the cells, you know, what's actually going to be able to produce ATP and allow for better cellular health. The best way to train that based on research is very short efforts of 20 to 30 seconds in duration with very long recovery periods. And that only needs to be done once or twice a week. So what I mean by that, and this is similar to like a workout that we've woven into the ladder app, 4 30-second efforts at all out capacity, each one separated by about 4 minutes of recovery. Right. So that's classic mitochondrial workout. Think long work to rest ratio. Okay. So you got short, or it would be a low work to rest ratio, right? Like very short work periods, preferably not longer than 30 seconds, but preferably up around 20 seconds. So 20 to 30 seconds with long recovery periods. And you want to do something like that once a week.
You're on a ski erg or a treadmill or a bike or something.
Yep. Ski erg, treadmill, bike. If you got to, you know, just like go for a walk, and during the course of that walk, do 4 30-second sprints during the course of a half hour walk, right? Like it could be that simple. But basically, that's the idea behind mitochondrial density training: short intensity, long recovery periods.
And the density, what is that doing for you? It's just helping with metabolization of fat and glucose, or what is that?
I don't know if metabolization is a word, dude. Did you just make that up?
I'm making up words.
All right. We'll roll with it though. Metabolization. Yeah, it helps with metabolization. It helps with cellular energy. We know that mitochondrial density and mitochondrial health overall is actually beneficial for longevity and a host of other beneficial physiological functions. Interestingly, we know that HIIT, or like high intensity interval training when overdone, or going for too long during your HIIT sessions without enough rest periods in between each spurt of effort during an interval, that's actually associated with decreased mitochondrial density and mitochondrial damage, right? So there's like a sweet spot. And a lot of people, they don't go hard enough during the intervals, and they don't go easy enough during the rest periods, and they do too much HIIT training. But you can do this mitochondrial triggering session like once a week. You're good to go.
You call the power plants of your cells. Is that what you said?
Yeah, as I always said, power plants. We'll call them power plants of the cells. Yeah, because that'll make all my vegan and vegetarian listeners happy. The plant power. And then you have the fourth component, which I used to train a ton for because I did a lot of endurance sports where you're going at kind of like a mid-level speed for a long period of time and having to burn a lot of lactic acid. But it turns out that the ability to be able to burn lactic acid is actually also associated with longevity. You know, I have one friend, Dr. Peter Attia, who's putting together like a program that he calls a centenarian Olympics. And one part of that is making sure your body can buffer lactic acid efficiently. And some people will even take supplements like arginine or citrulline or any of these lactate buffering enzymes to increase their lactic acid buffering capacity. But really with lactic acid tolerance, the best way to train it is once or twice a week, just pump your muscles full of lactic acid and then don't give them a chance to get rid of that lactic acid much until the workout's over. So a perfect example of this would be either blood flow restriction training, right, which like traps a whole bunch of lactic acid in the muscle until you're done with the workout and you take those damn straps off, which are burning the whole time, you know, straps on your arms or straps on your legs. And I don't know if you were downstairs when we were demoing those, when we were filming in Austin.
I wasn't, but I have a shoulder injury right now. And with my physical therapist, I've been using the B-Strong band.
Yeah, those are fine. Like the B-Strong bands or the fancy ones are the Japanese Katsu bands that automatically inflate. You guys had to buy some when I came down there to film because there wasn't any in the facility. So you've got some downstairs somewhere, dude. If you dig around in your bins, I travel everywhere with them. And so BFR training and the other thing that I'll do for lactate tolerance. And again, this is like one or two times a week. And I like to use this as a starter or a finisher to a strength training workout is something a lot of people may have heard of called a Tabata set, T-A-B-A-T-A. And that's where you just go for 4 minutes. You 20 seconds hard, 10 seconds easy on a bike or an erg or a rower or burpees, you name it. 20 seconds hard, 10 seconds easy for 4 minutes. And a Tabata set, because again, you're pumping the muscles full of lactic acid. And unlike the mitochondrial training, not giving them a long time to recover. But it's a pretty, 4 minutes is a pretty short like lactic acid workout. It's doable. It sucks, but it's doable. But you do that one or two times a week and you're hitting that fourth bucket, which would be lactate tolerance. Okay. And then you get to another element that's heavily associated with longevity that tends to decrease with age, that's associated with really good sporting capacity and health, and that's your VO2 max or your maximum oxygen utilization. Of all the different forms of cardio training, like the mitochondrial training I described or the lactate tolerance training I described, or even like the fat burning machine type of training I'll describe in just a second, VO2 max training is probably the one people like the least, because what it involves is anywhere from 4 to 6 minutes at your maximum sustainable pace. This would be like hopping on the Aerodyne or the Aerosol bike or like the bike from hell and just jamming as hard as you can after a quick warm up for 4 minutes and then using a 1-to-1 work to rest ratio. Right. So the VO2 max workout, and you only have to do this once every 1 to 2 weeks, research has shown, to keep your VO2 max elevated. But it'd be like 4 minutes maximum sustainable pace, right? Not so hard that you're pooped out after a minute, but hard enough to where like it's as hard as you can go and sustain for 4 minutes. Like let's say your RPM on the bike is 60 RPM. You'd want to maintain 60 RPM for the full 4 minutes, but you basically maintain that intensity throughout. We're talking like 85, 90%-ish. And then you give yourself 4 minutes of recovery, right? So it's 1-to-1 work to rest ratio. And you typically do 4 to 6 rounds of that. So if you want to think about it in really simplistic terms, 4 to 6 maximal sustainable pace efforts with 4 to 6 minutes of recovery between each, 4 to 6 times through. But if you do that once every 1 to 2 weeks, even though it's really mentally demanding, like you're going to have massive VO2 max, which is amazing for oxygen utilization. So that's kind of like the fifth bucket. And some people will biohack this, right? Like there's this concept of exercise with oxygen training. Like I have this machine called a Live O2. It's got a little trigger on it where I can flip the switch from hypoxia, where it sucks all the oxygen out of the bag, to hyperoxia, where I'm breathing pure oxygen. So what I'll do is I'll do like a VO2 max workout and I'll give myself like hypoxia during my 4 minute efforts and then just blast myself with oxygen during my recoveries. Or sometimes I'll do the opposite. I'll blast my muscles with oxygen so I can go really hard during the 4 minutes and then try to recover under hypoxia. And that has like this vasodilation, vasoconstriction action on the vessels. And it kind of amplifies the effects of VO2 max training. That, you know, they're not inexpensive, and it's not like you got to buy a bunch of biohacking equipment for example, for my program in Ladder, but that's what VO2 max training is like. And that's a perfect example of kind of marrying a biohack, like a, what mine's called a live O2 machine, with VO2 max training.
Well, if you're like me, you live a busy life, you don't really have time for many days off. That's why I talk so much about your mitochondria, because they generate about 90% of the energy your body uses, and keeping your mitochondria strong is one of the best ways to keep fatigue at bay. But these little mitochondria, darn things, are expensive to run. They use a huge amount of raw materials, especially when it comes to minerals. The problem is most people, including you and me, probably don't get enough minerals. And without minerals, your mitochondria don't have the cofactors they need to make energy. More than 97% of Americans don't get enough potassium. About 80% are deficient in magnesium. 40% are deficient in calcium. And those are three of the big ones. There's close to a dozen other trace minerals that are important for mitochondrial function, and most of us don't get enough of them, and you definitely can't get them from, say, table salt. It turns out that trying to take all the minerals you need by taking single mineral supplements isn't only hard because you need a ton of pills, but it's not the most effective way to get your minerals. That's why I take liquid, humic, and fulvic complexes. These are full spectrum mineral supplements, which means you get all the essential minerals your body needs in one go without a daily handful of massive amounts of pills or very large capsules or anything else that's hard to swallow. I use Beam mineral supplements because they're almost 100% bioavailable. They come in a liquid form that's easy to drink. It's just two bottles. I keep them in my pantry, throw back a shot a few times a day. They're a great way to refill your mineral stores, especially for those of you out here who are haunting your sauna on a frequent basis, or sweating, or doing hot yoga, or anything else. Keep your mitochondria running strong. So if you want to up your mineral game, give Beam Minerals a try. Go to Beam Minerals, B-E-A-M, minerals.com, and use code BEN at checkout for 20% off your first order. Well, if you're tired of spending hours on cardio with minimal results, then listen up, because I got a game-changing fitness breakthrough for you. The Carol Bike, science-backed, time-saving solution trusted by experts for optimizing health and longevity. They use this special form of a workout called a rehit, which allows you to achieve superior health and fitness benefits compared to regular cardio in 90% less time. That's amazing. That's a lot of time, 90%. Studies show that by doing Carol's 5-minute workout just three times a week, you can improve your fitness by 12%, reduce your risk of type 2 diabetes by 62%, and even wind back your internal body clock by 10 years. The science is clear. Carol Bike is your ticket to a healthier and more vibrant life. You got to try it to believe it and to see what I'm saying. I mean, it's not like a walk in the park. When you're pushing hard in those intervals, you're pushing, but then it's just like over and it's done and it walks you through it. It's very motivating. It's 5 feet away from me right now. It's right here in my office, my cool little exercise toy in my office. So you get $250 off your Carol Bike. You don't have to wait any longer. You can join over 25,000 riders and visit carolbike.com today. Carolbike.com. Hey, you want to spice things up in the bedroom and boost your sexual performance and do it naturally without nasty prescription drugs? You gotta check out this stuff, Joy Mode. It's a powder. You put it in water, or if you're like me and you're a savage, you can dry powder into your mouth. Contains clinically supported doses of L-citrulline, arginine, yohimbine, and vitamin C. So after taking this stuff called their Sexual Performance Booster, again by Joy Mode, your blood levels of arginine and yohimbine increase, and that directly promotes nitric oxide production, penile tissue relaxation, and increased drive. Well, the antioxidant action of vitamin C protects the nitric oxide from oxidative degradation, which then enhances the blood flow promoting activity of the nitric oxide. They thought of everything. They're super smart over at Joy Mode, and collectively these effects enhance sex drive and blood flow naturally to the penis or to the clitoris. My wife takes it too. It's amazing. You get better orgasms, better blood flow. You can kiss nasty prescription medications goodbye and have natural guilt-free energy for boosting your sexual performance. You can get 20% off your first order from Joy Mode. How? Go to usejoymode.com/greenfield. That's usejoymode.com/greenfield. J-O-Y. Usejoymode.com/greenfield. They'll give you 20% off your first order.
The African Viking over here, Coach Rain and Training Day, I train with him a lot because he's based here in Austin, and he has us finish a lot of workouts both in the app and when I train with him or in person. We'll do a, if it's a group, we'll do a maybe a 3,000 meter ski relay. So it'll be 3-on-3 and you're just going all out and, you know, kind of similar work to rest ratio that you were talking about. But it's amazing over the course of 6-8 weeks, certainly longer, how much you can improve your aerobic capacity. It's I love that style of training.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the VO2 max training. I mean, like, those five buckets are the hardest buckets. Like, if you were to pull open my ladder app and jump in, you'll see strength, you'll see power/speed, you'll see mitochondrial training, you'll see lactate tolerance training, and you'll see VO2 max training.
Will you program some stamina or endurance in there as well?
Yeah,
once a week.
Exactly, because those are like five buckets, but then there's two other buckets that I like. One is endurance, or kind of like your fat burning machine capacity. For this, people also overdo this. Like, this is the classic, you know, type of training that's low intensity, aerobic, often like slightly conversational, like your hikes, your bike rides, your walks, your long swims, your paddleboard sessions, stuff like that. But, you know, some people, honestly, they just get like chronic repetitive motion hamster on a wheel type of mindset with their training. And they're just going out and doing like a poopy faced run for lunch every single day, or just going on a hike every I mean, hiking's great. My wife's main style of training, my wife Jessa, is like hot yoga and hiking. But she's also, you know, playing tennis with the family a couple times a week. She's lifting heavy rocks around the garden, like hoeing and hauling alfalfa out to the goats. But, you know, and so she's getting like the strength training and the speed training and stuff kind of naturally just through life. But, you know, a lot of people, they just do too much of the chronic repetitive motion cardio training, when in fact, if you're just programming low level physical activity into your life, like every call I take, if I could take it while walking, I walk. Talking to you right now, if I could be walking, I'd be walking. But my treadmill makes too much noise for a really good podcast. Yeah. I didn't want to do this one outside. But I take 10,000 to 20,000 steps a day. Right. Just walking while I'm on calls, you know, parking as far away as I can from a grocery store or a restaurant, you know, just kind of moving all throughout the day. That's how I like to tackle the kind of like the fat burning endurance cardio component. But I also, in my programs, once a week program anywhere from 1 to 3 hours, typically on the weekend, the long hike, the long paddleboard session, the long swim, the long bike ride, maybe to a different, you know, nearby city 10 miles away to go hit a coffee shop and ride back or whatever. But the idea behind that is that I encourage people to do it in a fasted state. Like, wake up Saturday morning and do a 2-hour hike fasted, right? Because it's not hard. You're not pushing yourself. You're not going to beat yourself up with no fuel on board, just hiking at low level capacity for a couple hours. Train your body how to tap into its own fats as a fuel. And you can always, if you're super duper lean, you know, like I am, sometimes I'll take a shot of ketones or like, you know, a couple of scoops of amino acids or something like that beforehand, just for a little bit of energy, especially cognitive energy, because I don't like to be hangry when I'm hiking. And that'd be a great name for your next app, by the way, Tom, Hangry Hiker. But anyways, the endurance component is just basically low level cardio, preferably fasted, 1, maybe 2 times a week. And again, like this program that we're doing on ladder, it's not for the Ironman triathlete. If you're an Ironman triathlete, you're probably doing that type of endurance every day. I mean, I did when I was an Ironman, but in terms of just wanting to have good fat burning capacity for life, 1 or 2 times a week, you're just going out and doing something long. And preferably you're fasted or relatively fasted while you're doing it. And that's kind of like the sixth bucket. And then the final bucket, the seventh, is mobility. So for example, and this is very similar to the way I've programmed it in ladder, 10 to 15 minutes every morning. One of the first things I do when I get up is I foam roll and I stretch. And so by the end of the week, I've done like 75 to 90 minutes of mobility, whether through fascial work or whether through stretching. If you count the massage I get every 1 to 2 weeks, that also, you know, can fall into the mobility bucket. Any type of, you know, kind of like physical therapy-esque exercises that you do, the warm up and cool down for your workouts. You know, for me, it's just the way that I treat my mobility, Tom, is I get up in the morning. And I'll do 10 to 15 minutes of foam rolling any tight body parts, stretching anything that feels tight, etc. But I think of it this way. I'm like, okay, if I'm following my own rules of physical activity just being woven into my entire day, you know, and I like to get to the end of my day and kind of feel pretty good whether or not I've worked out because I've just kind of been moving all day, taking little breaks to swing some kettlebells or do a few pull-ups, taking calls while I'm walking, etc. But when I wake up in the morning, my mindset is, all right, this whole day is a workout.
So one of the first things I'm going to do in the morning is just warm up for my workout, right? And so that's the way that I do it. And so when I actually do, let's say after we podcast, I want to squeeze in, because most of my workouts are 30 to 40 minutes. And let's say we finish our podcast and I want to go work out. I might warm up for like 2 minutes, dude, because I've already done 15 minutes of foam rolling and mobility work. I'm standing up while I'm talking to you at my standing desk. I got one of these little topo mats that I'm standing on. So I'm rolling my feet with a ball right now while I'm talking to you. I've got different positions I can be in. But basically the idea is you kind of try to weave mobility in through your day more than spending, you know, like 15, 20 minutes before or after your workout focused on mobility. Cause I'd rather you just be working out during your workout time. So those are like the seven buckets, right? Strength, power, speed, mitochondrial density and health, lactate tolerance, VO2 max, endurance or fat burning capacity, and then mobility. Now, of course, like, and my listeners would be familiar with this, Tom. That doesn't mean that there aren't other important things that you should be doing, right? Eating whole, real, recognizable food, preferably as close to your own, you know, biochemical and genetic individuality as possible. Getting tons of sunlight, or even using like red light panels or so-called photobiomodulation panels or, you know, infrared light saunas, things like that during the day or on a recovery day, and we have one big recovery and biohacking day worked into the Boundless program. It would be like grounding, right? Going outside barefoot or sleeping on one of these grounding mats, or just making sure you're connected to the planet Earth at some point every day for anywhere from 20 to 60 minutes. Throwing in a few sauna sessions during the week, throwing in a cold bath or a cold shower one or two times a day, making sure you drink lots of fresh, clean, pure water with minerals added to it, having a good gratitude and meditation practice, having positive relationships, right? Like I'm one of those guys who kind of wishes like Men's Health or Women's Health magazine would talk more about light and grounding and heat and cold and water and minerals and relationships as much as they talk about bicep curls and, you know, high intensity interval training. But ultimately, you know, let's say that you're eating well, you're getting sunlight or some form of red light therapy on the regular, you're grounding or earthing on the regular, you're getting some kind of heat practice like sauna, cold practice like cold showers, good water with minerals, positive relationships, and a good spiritual life. Like if you've got all that going for you, and then you throw in strength, power, speed, mitochondrial, lactate tolerance, VO2 max, endurance, and mobility, then, I mean, like, long answer to your question, you asked, you know, what should people do if they want to feel good and look good naked and live for a long time? That would basically be, you know, everything kind of like all at once. And that's what I tried to do with the Boundless program in the Ladder app, which is weave all that stuff in.
I want to talk nutrition, but before we get there, you mentioned you mentioned that sometimes people overdo it with the endurance training. Just curious, other mistakes people make, whether it's recovery related or just curious, any other like obvious mistakes that you see people make?
Mistakes? Oh, geez. So I would say biggest mistakes would be, there's a lot of pressure to, and this might kind of fly in the face of like all the different cool programs and in the Ladder app and beyond. Of course, I keep making this sound like a big commercial for the Ladder app. Like it's not, I just want to fill people in on, you know, what that is. And I'm excited about it, but you know, whether you're reading a fitness magazine or whatever, like there's pressure to constantly change to new programs. I mean, like that's the way fitness magazines stay in business, is besides the supplement advertisements, like they got to have new program. Like what's the focus today? What's the butt workout that the latest celebrity is doing that people need to drop everything and switch to from the arm workout that the movie star was doing in the last issue? Or, you know, or a personal trainer knows the best way to keep a client signing up for month after month is to tell them, you know, oh, we got to change up the workout next month. If you do what you're doing this month, it's not going to work. So that there's this pressure to constantly change, but people do it too much. They don't stick with the same program long enough. And so like in the Boundless program and in the Ladder app, like I'm changing up the workouts every 6 weeks or so. And that's about as frequently as I would want to change stuff up. I mean, I personally have about 20 workouts or so that I cycle through nearly throughout the entire year. And that's important because you eliminate a lot of decision-making fatigue. You allow the body to become better and stronger and more proficient at the exercises that it is doing. And so I think people beat themselves up too much that they're doing the same workout that they were doing 2 years ago. When in fact you can give yourself permission to do that, right? Like I don't plan on not walking until I'm dead. Like I'll walk every day. I'll swing kettlebells, you know, a few times every week. I'll do pushups every day. There are certain things that you just don't have to change up, but you have to strike a balance between that and what in, you know, what in sports training or athletic training we call periodization, right? Like having certain periods of the year where you're focused on strength or certain periods of the year where you're focused on fat loss or certain periods of the year where you're focused on recovery. There's also, when it comes to changing up workouts, the entertainment factor, right? Like you being excited to go to the gym because you're trying something new, or, you know, you have a new workout in your app or from your trainer. There's something to metabolic guesswork, right? Like in exercise physiology, there's a principle called SED, specific adaptation to imposed demands. And what that dictates is that the body's eventually going to become so efficient at the exercises that you do have it doing that you don't burn as many calories, or, you know, your muscles don't stay quite as active if they're just used to doing, like, push-ups, for example, are super easy for me. I started doing cranking out literally hundreds of push-ups a day back when I was training for this event called Seal Fit. And not a day goes by, Tom, where I don't do like 300 push-ups, right? Like I'll just drop at different points during the day and do 30 push-ups. I'll go to the bathroom at a restaurant and drop and do 30 push-ups and then wash my hands really, 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 really well and then go back to dinner. Like I do so many push-ups every day. It's nuts. But And so my body's really good at push-ups. Like compared to somebody who doesn't do that, push-ups don't do as much for me as they would for someone who's not doing that many push-ups. But it also allows me to weave strength in throughout my entire day and physical activity in throughout my entire day, like we were talking about earlier. So what I'm getting at here is that one big mistake is that people beat themselves up for just by sticking to an exercise program for a long period of time. And it's okay to do the same exercises and the same workouts for, like, you know, 4, 5, 6 weeks, sometimes like 8 weeks in a row, and just not change anything up. And sometimes you find that you can dig yourself into a pretty, or well, that's probably a bad analogy. You can put a lot of money in the fitness bank and remove a lot of decision-making fatigue from your workouts by doing that, as long as you recognize that you do have to change up things like the weight that you're lifting, the speed with which you're doing exercises, maybe a variation of a certain exercise, like a dive bomber push-up instead of a regular push-up, things like that. But understand the balance between constantly changing and having like a shiny penny, oh, hey, look, a squirrel approach to your fitness programming, and also properly kind of making mild fluctuations throughout the entire year. So the way that I'm doing that, my Boundless program in the Ladder app, is I'm making little tweaks every 6 weeks, but it's not as though you're doing like this full blown complete overhaul every 6 weeks. Like it's still the same flavor of exercise. And it still allows for the body to continue to progress and get better. So that'd be one. Another mistake would be a lot of people, I think, sacrifice sleep, which is, in my opinion, as important as nutrition and exercise and relationships and everything else, to work out. They either get up too early, like at 4 a.m., and short themselves on sleep so they can squeeze their workout in, usually because they're not working out smart and they're going to the gym and doing like bicep curls and tricep pushdowns and, you know, long, slow jogs on the treadmill, when you should be able to get in and get out of the gym in like 30 to 45 minutes easily. But a lot of people are not working out properly, or they are trying to squeeze in their workouts too early or too late because they're not being physically active during a workday. And often they're working out too close to bedtime, which disrupts sleep. So if I have to choose between like getting in my workout or getting in extra sleep, I will always figure out, okay, how can I make this workout very efficient, minimal effective dose of exercise, so I can sleep until 5 instead of having to get up at 4 to go to the gym? Or how can I get this workout done by 6 p.m. instead of being in the gym an extra 45 minutes to an hour till 7 p.m., dictating that I'm working out too close to bedtime, my core temperature is going to be too high, my cortisol is going to be too high. So I think a lot of people need to think about sleep and prioritize sleep as much as they do their workouts and their diet. And a big part of that is exercising efficiently and exercising intelligently, right? You're not the Navy SEAL who's going to sleep when they die, and they're going to die earlier, so they are going to get a lot of sleep because they're dying earlier. But you want to balance out sleep with exercise. And I think too many people short themselves on sleep in order to exercise, and you just wind up having that cortisol-y, tired eyes, wrinkly skin, collagen degradation, you know, sick all the time type of scenario because you're just not prioritizing sleep enough. So that's another big one. You do need to sleep enough.
Our whole team was impressed that you were able to take a nap in the middle of the day that we had you on, you know, just to set it up. Ben is obviously doing, you know, movement after movement. We tell him he's got, you know, we launch and then he still had 30 minutes to spare and he says he's going to take a nap. The lights are on and Ben just gets out all of his gear and he just goes through a full sleep cycle in 30 minutes and then comes out and kills the rest of the movements. But
right.
I had never seen anything like that.
Well, I do efficient sleep and efficient exercise. So, I mean, if you would have watched me get ready for my nap in there, I'm like putting on a Hap B and in a, you know, around my neck to simulate CBD, but not have CBD in my system so I could get up and still be exercising afterwards. I was using like a little Apollo wristband, full on sleep. I have this little sleep kit that's always in my bag. Whip that thing out and I can crush like a 90 minute sleep cycle in 20 minutes using a setup like that. So
do you wear a Whoop or an Aura as well?
I wear an Aura ring. Yeah.
And so can you see like within a 30 minute nap, I'm always curious, you know, what percentage of that are you able to get into the SWS sleep, into that deep sleep?
None of these wearables, they all suck at measuring naps. They do a pretty good job with sleep architecture for a full night of sleep. But I'm going off of research that has done sleep spindle research on people who are napping from 20 to 45 minutes. And it's shown that you simulate, you go through like a full sleep cycle, but it's accelerated. The sleep cycle is. And so probably one of the companies that's done the most research on that is an app that I use called NuCalm that just knocks me out for 20 or 30 minutes. And they've done some pretty cool sleep studies showing that or another thing called Yoga Nidra, which is basically like, almost like a body scan where you're relaxing yourself with a certain type of breath work that can do a really good job simulating sleep. So I sleep anywhere from 6.5 to 7.5 hours a night. And then I'm always doing like a 20 to 40 minute nap. So yeah, I would say that would be another mistake people make is just like not getting the sleep component figured out and then shorting themselves on sleep for exercise. Relying on a gym or a health club to work out, that's a biggie. Like, you know, me being in your gym, that's probably like the fifth time I've been in a gym in the past 2 years since COVID started. Cause I've got kettlebells and sandbags in my garage. I got some bikes and barbells and dumbbells in my other little home gym out in the forest that I walk out to. And too many people feel like they have to go to a gym or a health club to work out. They've set up this scenario where they tell themselves it's got to be the right set and setting to radically change your habits. You must radically change your environment. Like, I get all of that, but you don't want to spend 10 to 20 minutes or more driving to the gym, maybe sitting around for a few more minutes, waiting for that class to start that you signed up for, waiting for your workout buddies to show up, driving the 10 to 20 minutes back, you know, waiting in line for the bathroom, you know, taking the shower in a different shower that's not your own. So there's all these things that pile up when you're relying on a gym or a health club, in addition to like the modern overhead LED fluorescent lighting. And, you know, I've written articles about all the mold problems in gyms and the Wi-Fi pouring off the treadmills. And so like a gym is actually kind of an unhealthy place. And I get it. If that's what it takes to motivate you to exercise is you have to visit a gym or a health club. But that was one of the things that we worked on, you know, with the Boundless program and Ladder was like, we want people to be able to do this in their basement, in their backyard, at a park, wherever, with minimal equipment. And I think that if you are reliant mentally or physically upon a gym or a health club in order to motivate you to work out, that's a mistake. And there's no reason that you have to have a fabricated room or box or facility in order to move your body. Like, you can go out to the great outdoors. You can go into your basement where you have some weights. You can hit that kettlebell that's right behind you in your office cubicle. So relying on a gym or a health club is another big mistake, I think. And so I encourage people to just reframe the idea of needing to go to a gym to work out. You don't have to go to a gym to work out, period. Feeling like your workout needs to last a certain amount of time, right? Saying, I got to go to the gym for 30 minutes, or I got to work out for 45 minutes, or I got to get 60 minutes in or the world's going to end, versus giving yourself permission to do what I call micro workouts. And I do this often on busy days. I'll do sometimes on some days, like 4 to 5, 5 to 10 minute workouts that I'll just squeeze in between phone calls and podcasts and writing. And so I'll take that workout that was supposed to be, let's say, five rounds of push-ups, squats, burpees, kettlebell swings, and 50 calories on the Airdyne, right? And I'll instead do that exact workout, but do one round at 7 a.m., one round at, you know, 9 a.m., one round just before lunch, one round after my afternoon nap, one round right before dinner, and just like squeeze it all in throughout the day. And a lot of research has shown that these micro workouts are really effective, because really what it comes down to at the end of the day is how much time under tension that your muscles have been under. And there's no reason. And I actually have seen a lot of people adopting this and it becoming more popular. This concept of micro workouts, you know, it's kind of like that same idea of me sleeping a little bit shorter, but then throwing a nap in the middle of the day. But basically, don't think that your workout has to be that one dedicated time that you work out. You can actually split it up or even stop it halfway through and come back and finish it later. A lot of people think it's going to get super messed up if they don't do all four sets of bench press or squat in the same workout. And yeah, there is a certain amount of fatigue that builds up by compressing a workout into a period of time, like 30 or 40 or 60 minutes. That allows you for some benefits, but you still get a ton of benefits from splitting it up into 5 minutes here, 10 minutes there, et cetera. So I would say give yourself permission to split up your workouts. If you don't get done what you plan on getting done, then just do some micro workouts, split it up throughout the day, finish the 30 minutes that you had out of a 45 minute workout that you'd plan on, and then just get the 15 minutes done right before dinner, or crank out some extra, you know, burpees after lunch or whatever. So micro workouts would be another. And then one more I'll throw at you, Tom. And this would be a lot of people, when they're working out, they're just tracking muscle gain and fat loss. Even a lot of studies, if you look at them and you tear them apart, that say whatever, you know, resistance training is better than cardio, or cycling is better than running, or, you know, X amount of cold water minutes is better than this amount of time spent in a cold bath. You know, a lot of these studies, all they look at is body fat loss or body weight loss or BMI or muscle gain or lean muscle maintenance, but they don't actually look at a ton of other health metrics that I think have to be paid attention to if you really are focused on lifespan and health span, like, you know, your cortisol levels, your testosterone levels, your inflammation levels, your thyroid values, your red blood cell, density or red blood cell width or red blood cell volume, your white blood cell count, you know, all these things that we can now test in the comfort of our own homes that would have cost, you know, tens of thousands of dollars a decade ago at the Princeton Longevity Institute or whatever. Like, we can track a lot more than just body fat and muscle gain or BMI. So understand that that's just one thing to look at. Whether you're analyzing the results of and reading a study on exercise, or whether you are just tracking your own body, there's so much more to health that goes beyond just what's the percentage of body fat loss and what's the amount of muscle gain. Because I can tell you, like, if I stumble across the perfect program for, let's say, muscle gain and fat loss, but it's a program that also, say, lowers thyroid hormone, lowers testosterone, amplifies cortisol, and results in long-term soft tissue muscle damage, that doesn't mean it's a great workout, right? It means it's going to get me short-term aesthetic gains for long-term metabolic damage. And so many people will jump into a program and feel great for 3 months or 4 months or 6 months, and they'll beat them up and spit them out because all they're paying attention to is body fat and muscle and not all these other metrics that I think are just as important. Kind of like in the same way I think, you know, light and grounding and heat and cold and minerals and water and all this stuff is as important as the exercise piece. So yeah, I know it's a mouthful, but those are some mistakes.
Do you have a good at-home kit for testing some of those biomarkers, or how would one do that at home?
There's a lot of ways to do it, but and there's, you know, like, I've got one company I'm testing right now called Core, and it's literally like one of those Star Trek esque. What was the thing in Star Trek where they'd like wave it in front of you and you could tell everything that was wrong with your body? Are you a Trekkie?
No, I don't remember.
Yeah, but it, you know, it's like that. That one's called a Core, and I just put a little drop of blood and it analyzes like thousands of different biomarkers, and it's all under trial right now. I'm trialing it right now. I can't say I like it or don't like it. But then there's other companies like Thorne that send you a home test kit. They'll test sleep, they'll test hormones, one drop of blood, and then you send it back to them. There are companies like Longevity or Viome that will do the same thing for your gut. There's companies like Stratagene that will do the same thing for your genetics. There are companies like Dutch that will do the same thing for your hormones. You know, when I have a client who signs up for me, and if anybody leaves a comment or perhaps in the show notes, you know, because I actually have a whole team that works on the show notes and they listen to these podcasts before they come out. And I'll tell them right now, you know, you guys put all my gold standard tests in the show notes so people can see. You know, when I'm on a phone with one of my clients, what I tell them to go order, and then they send me the results, and I sit down with those results if I'm working with somebody one-on-one, and I tell them, okay, here's what you need to be eating. Here's the supplements you should be taking. Here's the things to talk to your doctor about. Here are the times of day you should be eating. You know, here's what agrees with your genetics. You know, and so it's not like there's one single test that rules them all, but there's about like six different tests you can order to your house that pretty much cover the bases on everything you'd ever need to know to advise you on your recovery time, on your you know, nutrition, on your supplementation, et cetera. So yeah, and I'll put them in the show notes at bengreenfieldfitness.com/ladder podcast.
All right. So obviously still a bunch that we'd love to talk about, including nutrition, but I think let's stick with exercise for now. And so what I'd love to better understand is how you go about programming your own workouts. And then maybe, you know, in addition to that, what is the most enduring change you've made to your own programming over time?
I love that question. Okay. And I agree. We do need to talk about nutrition. There's like, there's so much that I want to talk about, Tom, that we're definitely going to. So if you're listening in right now, Tom and I are going to do a part two, just so you guys know. We will do a part two because this is fun shit. And I feel like I'm getting a chance to talk now during my own podcast about stuff I never get to because I'm always interviewing somebody. All right, so how do I go about programming my workouts? When I sit down and I'm working with somebody one-on-one, or I have somebody like you come to me and say, okay, Ben, we want you to be our guy for the minimal effective dose of exercise and health span and lifespan for a workout, right? When I've got somebody's goals in front of me, the things that I take into account would be equipment, right? Like dumbbells, kettlebells, treadmill. What do you actually have? You know, like I just had a client text me this morning because he's in Thailand right now filming for a movie. And so, you know, he's constantly on the go and he'll just like shoot a video for me when he gets to where he's going of what the gym looks like or what his home setup looks like. And then I sit down with that and say, okay, we don't have any kettlebells. So we're going to have to basically work with the, you know, this shitty dumbbell set that you have in the corner of the hotel gym, or, you know, that big park that we found on Google Maps near your hotel or whatever you happen to have available. With the Boundless program on Ladder, we kind of stuck with a lot of the stuff that people would typically find in a gym or health club, or stuff they could pretty easily get at home, you know, like kettlebell, BFR bands, things like that. So equipment is one. Time limitations. I always ask people, well, how much time do you want this to take? And if they don't know, I tell them we can get done, you know, put shoving aside like light therapy and sauna and cold, we can get done from an exercise standpoint with just about anybody on the face of the planet who just wants to look good naked and live a long time needs to get done in about 30 to 60 minutes a day. Right. But I always ask about time limitations just in case. Cause like I have some CEOs who I work with who are like 3 days a week, an hour and a half. That's all I got, bro. What can you give me? And I'll work with that. I have other people who I'm jealous of who are like, yeah, I do all my work via my phone from a golf course. And I've got about, maybe 5 hours per day every morning to take care of my body before I head out on the golf course. And I'm like, A, great. B, I want your job. But the time limitations is another one I look at. Goals, of course, right? Do you want to look good? Are you getting ready for an Ironman triathlon or a marathon or a Spartan race, which would dictate I'd train you a lot differently than somebody who wants to live a long time, because those type of workouts aren't going to increase longevity. But if that's the personal Mount Everest that you want to climb, fine, I'll program that way for you. But if somebody wants to, you know, lose weight and lose body fat, you know, there's a lot more fasted workouts. There's a lot more cold thermogenesis worked in. There's a lot more even sleep worked in and a lot more of that fasted cardio worked in. If someone is training for longevity, you know, it's a lot more of exactly what I described earlier in this podcast, that combination of strength, power, speed, mitochondria, lactate tolerance, VO2 max, endurance, mobility, you know, light grounding, heat, cold, minerals, water, you know, relationships, everything, you know, and that's actually what the Boundless program is it's kind of like that latter one, really. It's kind of like, longevity, I would say, is the best way to describe what we're doing with the Boundless program in Ladder. I look at injuries, right? Injury history and also existing injuries. What do we have to work around? And that's one reason I had to film like 700 different exercises down at your place, because we got to have options for people who might not be able to do, let's say, a lunge jump, but can do like a split lunge with the back leg on a bench, or somebody who can't do a barbell squat due to back pain, but do just fine with a goblet squat, right? And so injuries are another thing I look at. And then I also look at, and this is one that gets thrown into a mix a lot, desire for social sports. A lot of people are like, I like to play tennis 3 times a week. I love my Pilates class or my hot yoga class. I want to go paddleboarding every weekend. And so I don't pile extra workouts on top of the social sports, because sports are working out. You know, at the end of the day, you know, training stress is training stress. So I always look at what a person actually has, you know, going on from a social sports standpoint as well that they want to include. And so once I've looked at equipment, at time limitations, at goals, whether it be aesthetics or performance or longevity, et cetera, at injuries, at desire for any social sports, that usually gives me what I need to know to work on someone's program. You know, for me myself, I do the same thing. Every Sunday night, I sit down, I look at my week ahead, I go to those workouts that I tend to rely on a regular basis, I look at where I'll be in the world, and then I say, and I literally do this, like every Sunday night, I know there's that saying that, you know, anyone who is their own coach has the worst coach they could ever get, or something like that, but I like the versatility of being able to program my workouts, and I'm pretty self-motivated. So every Sunday, I do this for my sons. I sit down and program all my sons' workouts. I sit down and program my workouts, and then I just have everything written out all the way up until the following Sunday. And that's how I actually figure out what it is that I'm going to do. And that's the same thing I'm going to be doing for the Boundless program and Ladder, right? Like I'm sitting down every 6 weeks. Okay. Here's what I want to change. Here's what I want to weave in. Here's what they've been doing. Here's what they're going to start doing, et cetera. And so that's how I program. And as far as how it's changed over time, look at it this way, man. I used to do Ironman triathlon and Spartans and, you know, all this crazy shit. I do way less exercise now. Even though I still, you know, back when I was training for Ironman, I was still training 14 to 16 hours a week, you know, a lot of weeks, 8 to 10 hours versus the 20 to 40 hours that's common amongst Ironman triathletes, especially Ironman triathletes who are trying to qualify for world championships or whatever. So I've always been a minimal effective dose of exercise, always use smarter science, such as a lot of those concepts I was talking about earlier, to get as much results as possible in as short a period of time as possible. But now I do even less exercise. I work out for 30 to 40 minutes a day if we're talking about what most people would consider an actual workout, right? So that's when I'm at home. When I travel, I'm often very, very busy. When I travel, I'm often in Ubers and airplanes and sitting in conference rooms and outside of my environment where I kind of do low-level physical activity all day long that lets me get away with a 30 to 40 minute workout. So a lot of times when I travel, you know, I'll hit the gym for an hour, like the hotel gym for an hour in the morning, or, you know, or go for a longer walk, or, you know, put on blood flow restriction bands and go for a swim, you know? So when I travel, it's a little bit more, but for me, if I'm working out for more than 60 minutes a day, it means that, you know, I'm way beyond what is typical for me. So way less exercise would be one thing. I do a lot more micro workouts, like a lot more of those, like give myself permission to just weave in 5 to 10 minute workouts throughout the day. I get by on working out less, however, by doing way more sauna, way more cold showers and cold soaks, a ton of breath work, including breath work while I'm working out, deep nasal breathing, breath work before, breath work after, you know, Wim Hof protocols before I hit the cold bath. I do a lot more meditation, you know, every single morning with my family, 5 to 10 minutes, every single evening with my family, 5 to 10 minutes. I do a lot more fasting. You know, I used to get up and punish huge meals. Now I do a 12 to 16 hour intermittent fast every day, dinner time to dinner time fast a couple of times a month, you know, every quarter, kind of like a spring cleanup where I'm doing a 3 to 5 day bone broth fast or vegetable fast or like a Kaya Kelpa or a Panchakarma type of fast. That's more of an Ayurvedic approach, but if I'm doing some type of fast, you know, on a regular basis, and then a lot more focus on walking. Like I walk a ton, like I mentioned, 10 to 20,000 steps a day. So ultimately I do less exercise, 30, 60 minutes a day max. I do a lot more of the micro workouts, more heat, more cold, more breath work, more meditation, more fasting, and a ton of walking. Whereas back in the day, dude, it would have been get up, you know, crush a swim, sit, lunchtime, crush a run, sit, evening before dinner, do a bike or do like a 4-hour ride on the weekends or whatever, go to bed. Now it's, in my opinion, a lot more holistic, a lot more natural, a lot more conducive to longevity. I'm happier. I'm injured less. I feel great. You know, I'm in good shape. And so, you know, everything that I've changed in my own exercise program is kind of exactly what I wove into the Boundless program on Ladder. So that's what's changed.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm just looking at looking at a sneak peek of your week one program, and it's exactly what you described. I think it's workouts anywhere from 10 to 30 minutes. You even have a nature breath walk in there. It's truly your fitness protocol. That's awesome, man. Well, I know that we're going to do a part two, which I'll look forward to. You know, tell people where to find what they need about your program as well, if you want to wrap up now.
Well, yeah, I mean, you had told me about some of the things you want to talk about. And so just for you and for the listeners, like, you know, Tom and I wanted to talk about misinformation in the fitness era and, you know, all the nonsense and so-called witchcraft out there. We want to talk to you about nutrition and some of my approaches to nutrition and how important that is or is not compared to fitness. I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the failures of a lot of the popular diets out there and clear up the confusion about that. And then we also wanted to fill you in even more on what the Boundless program is in Ladder. And Tom had some specific biohacks he wanted to talk about. And so we'll do a part two, but in the meantime, you know, from what I understand, Tom, and correct me if I'm wrong, basically, September 19th is when this program is going to be available, my Boundless program on the Ladder app. I know that we'll link to it if people go to bengreenfieldfitness.com/ladder podcast. That's the best place to go if you want to get the app and my program and everything. A, because that's where all the show notes reside, and B, because they're able to track that link as coming from this podcast. And so it just helps me out if Tom and his team can see, you know, how many of you are coming over based on hearing this podcast. And so if you go to bengreenfieldfitness.com/ladder podcast, you can get there, or you can, of course, just find it in the app store as well. Tom, was I correct? It's September 19th that my program launches?
Yeah. So it sounds like when this podcast drops, the program will be live. And so I encourage people to check it out. Definitely want to highlight that there's a 7-day free trial. It doesn't require a credit card. So we give everyone plenty of time to check out your full program and really get the full experience before they're asked to consider payment. And then, you know, to the extent they lock in, which I think many of you will, it's as little as $39 a month, which, based on what I know about your offerings, this is definitely the most accessible price point that you've ever offered for an experience with you.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, open the kimono. My private clients pay me $5,000 a month for me to manage everything for them, for me to be like the CEO of their health and track their HRV and their sleep and go through all their labs and, you know, talk to them every day. Compared to that, for, you know, $50 a month and the ability to be able to check it out for free and kick the tires, so to speak, this is a bargain. And of course, I wouldn't want to deceive people into thinking they're going to be on the phone with me every day on the Ladder app. But it's basically, my goal was to make a lot of what I do scalable and not feel like I got to charge people tons of money, you know, to be able to access some of my knowledge and how I put programs together every month. So that's why I wanted to partner up with Tom. And I'm super excited about it. I'm going to be fully authentic and transparent with everybody listening. Like, I didn't want to do an app. I thought it was gimmicky. I have not been impressed with any that I've seen. I you know, talked to Tom. I went through the Ladder app. I went down there and filmed, and you know, now I'm like the polar opposite. I'm super stoked about this thing. And I'm excited for you all to be able to try it. So yeah, bengreenfieldfitness.com/ladder podcast. And then if you guys have questions or technical difficulties or, you know, comments or feedback, you know, leave them there, and Tom and I will help you out. And then Tom, I think part two is going to be fun, dude, because I've already seen some of the stuff you want to talk about, and we're going to have a lot of fun in part two too. But I guess we're getting long in the tooth, so we should pull it on this one, and then and for folks listening in, Tom and I will record part two, I would say, within the next, what do you think, Tom? Like sometime in the next 1 to 3 weeks or so.
Sounds great.
Okay,
let's do it.
All right, cool. But yeah, till then, thanks, Tom. You're great at putting me in the hot seat. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Look forward to doing it again.
All right, folks, go to bengreenfieldfitness.com/ladder podcast. Grab my program on the Ladder app. It's called Boundless. And I'll see you in there along with the entire Rabied community who you're going to get to join in following this thing. So till next time, I'm Tom, or he's Tom. I'm Ben, and I can't talk. Signing out from bengreenfieldfitness.com. Have an amazing week.
Well, thanks for listening to today's show. You can grab all the show notes, the resources, pretty much everything that I mentioned over at bengreenfieldfitness.com, along with plenty of other goodies from me, including the highly helpful Ben Recommends page, which is a list of pretty much everything that I've ever recommended for hormones, sleep, digestion, fat loss, performance, and plenty more. Please also know that all the links, all the promo codes that I mentioned during this and every episode help to make this podcast happen and to generate income that enables me to keep bringing you this content every single week. So when you listen in, be sure to use the links in the show notes, use the promo codes that I generate, because that helps to float this thing and keep it coming to you each and every week.